Michigan's seeing a small but hopeful drop in daily new COVID cases, and there's optimism that hospitalizations may have peaked too. But many, like Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, are still overflowing. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells spent time on one of the COVID units where workers say this third surge feels both new and horribly familiar.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started.
So the day at Sparrow starts the same way 5 days a week. The bigwigs, the department leaders, get together at 8 a.m. It's called the Incident Command Meeting, and they essentially go through the fires that they have to put out that day, starting with how many people are in our hospital today.
We're at 100% capacity with 50 additional overflow spaces in use, and there's 12 patients in the emergency department waiting.
This is Jean Bishop. She is the director of nursing operations here, and she's got this like little Mickey Mouse pin holding up her name tag clipped to her blazer. She's hearing reports from staff at the community hospitals who are calling in via Zoom. They're part of this Sparrow system, and they have so many COVID patients who need more care that they can provide that they're sending all of these folks to this main hospital.
I know Eaton transferred 8 out of their ER last night. We transferred, Clinton transferred 5 out of the ER last night.
Another new issue that they're having with this third surge that they haven't seen before is they've got a lot more of these pregnant moms coming in with COVID and also really little kids who need to be admitted for COVID. This just isn't something they'd seen in these numbers previously. Jean Bishop goes over and huddles with Kathleen Marble, who runs pediatric nursing operations. And I ask them, you know, how young are we talking here when we're talking about kids that need to be admitted with COVID?
A couple months? Yeah.
And then I just want to know, well, how sick are we talking about here?
Well, the ones that are in PEDS ICU are needing, you know, respiratory support. They're on a ventilator, just like the adults are.
For Bishop and Marble, this is when the real work of the day starts. They remind me of kind of an old married couple in that, like, they've clearly worked together very closely for years. They kind of bicker as they try and figure out literally where are they going to put everybody.
9 is open, 10 is open.
Those are doubled.
I know, I don't know. You need to tell me. I don't know.
So after incident command meetings end, everybody disperses. They go to their own units. We go up to the 9th floor, which is one of 6 floors that have been turned into these overflow COVID units. And before we can go into a patient's room, you know, obviously there's a ton of PPE. You've got literally an oxygen machine strapped to your back. It's pretty heavy. That goes in with a tube up to this hood. You look like an astronaut or like one of those deep sea divers. And it's such a weird way to go in to see a patient who is so vulnerable and is wearing just a gown. You look like you are talking to them like they are a toxic specimen. And I'm feeling super awkward about it. The woman that I'm here to talk to is Annette Seifert. She is 63. She's been here about a week, and she's getting better, but emotionally she's really struggling.
It's so hard. It's so lonely.
It's so lonely here, she says. When we're talking, she has these long pauses between sentences because she's got this high-flow nasal cannula that's putting oxygen into her body, and she has to stop every so often and just try and breathe out of it.
I've always been the caregiver.
I've always been the caregiver, she says. She says her daughter has pretty intense medical issues. She's been caring for her. And then she has to just pause altogether, and she just takes a huge breath. And we just are completely silent in the room as we just listen to her trying to breathe. Her face is pretty stoic, but she's got tears streaming down her face as she looks at me. And I ask her, you know, what made you, this is clearly so difficult for her to even just talk. I ask her, you know, what made you want to talk to a reporter right now of all things?
It's lonely in here. That's the biggest reason.
I just wanted to see some faces.
I got 3 faces in here now.
We thank Annette for taking this time and tell her that we hope she's just going to keep getting better. Just down the hall from Annette is another patient. Her name is Quinita Glynn. She is only 42 years old, and she was very, very sick when she got here. She's been here almost 2 weeks, and she's making a really good recovery.
I feel 100% better. Came in here about, I'm going to say about 13 days ago. My body just felt beat.
The thing about Glynn is she has asthma, so she has taken the pandemic incredibly seriously. She knew that this would be life-threatening for her. Basically hasn't left the house in the last year unless she had to. She's got 4 kids. They've been doing virtual school. Only last month did she let the 6th grader go back to school in person. She doesn't know if that's how she got it. It's a possibility. She didn't know that she had COVID. She thought she just had a bad sinus infection there for a while. And then one afternoon, her sister comes over and says, I'm taking you to the emergency room, because she was just so disoriented. She gets there. She starts crashing. She needs so much oxygen that for a while they had to put in a special feeding tube.
No, I've been calling COVID devil. You know, I call it the devil. I'm not going to let this devil defeat me. You know, it's bigger than this. I'm going to get out of here. Now, like I said, I got a testimony. This is part of my testimony. This is part of my story.
One thing that Glynn thinks about is how close she was to getting vaccinated. Like, just last month, she was talking with her pulmonologist about how, you know, April 5th was on her calendar. She was going to get the vaccine.
I was so close. You know, I fought the fight. I'm determined to, you know, waiting for April 5th, and here come COVID. You know what I'm saying? So I tried to push it in quarantine, and I just almost made it.
The good news is it looks like Glynn is going to be able to be discharged here pretty soon and able to go home to her kids. She is going to need like a home oxygen machine, but things look good. Out in the hall, I run into Dr. Kenneth Thompson. He's a family medicine doctor, and he's doing some rounds here. He's clearly like the guy who does a lot of dad jokes and is the ham. Like, he's over in the side being like, this box of gloves only has left-handed gloves. We must have gotten a discount. And the nurses are sort of rolling their eyes. And I ask him, you know, how's everybody holding up?
Well, we're all ready to have a party day someday. It's tiring. Yeah. You know, the big adrenaline rush in the beginning. You had the command center. Oh, we're here. We're going to help everybody. And then you get, you know, it's... Oh, you're only on mile number 6. It's 20 to go. You got to be kidding. I sprinted the first 6. I didn't know I had 20 to go.
This is the thing about a third surge. Several of the nurses and caregivers that I talked to say they just feel exhausted, obviously. They don't feel like that appreciation is there anymore. And they've lost people, too. You know, Dr. Thompson talks about one of the doctors here that they lost just a couple months ago, Dr. Rick Lopez, and how hard that has been for the staff to just keep going.
Picked it up in his office.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. His wife's worked here. It's still here. She's been here 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw her the other day. She's still working because she says, if I don't work, I just sit home and cry. So she's still working here at Sparrow.
I don't know really what to say to him about that. Well, his resident pops her head out of one of the patient's rooms and starts waving him over. And he takes a deep breath and turns around and heads out. And he's like, gotta go be a hero.
All right, you guys. Have fun.
Take care.
Wear a mask. Save a life.
That was Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reporting.